Let's welcome back Bill Mackay. Good morning, Bill.
Kia ora, Catherine. I love mushrooms.
Good on you. But it's fun, isn't it? It's just like snipping the herbs from the garden. It'd be fun to just go and pluck them off the sack or whatever it is they're growing on.
And here comes my segue. Things are mushrooming in Auckland in terms of urban design.
We'll get you back on Friday, just before midday, Bill, with that one.
Okay.
We're on to part two of looking at the Auckland Council's response to government urban design reforms and the impacts, therefore, on heritage and special character. Pick up where we left off, Bill.
Yeah, so last time, very broadly discussed two government reforms, blunt instruments, but I'm a supporter of radical change and radical central government change because I haven't seen the markets sorting out any of our housing problems over the past couple of decades. And in my opinion, the market exploits problems rather than solving them, hence shortages leading to higher prices that we're seeing at the moment in many areas. Last week, I took a broader view than most. As an urban designer and an architectural historian, of course, I care about quality urban design, quality housing, preserving architectural heritage, neighbourhood character, but I care even more about social equity. So briefly, there's a national policy statement that says councils can't stop six-storey apartment buildings in a walkable distance of city centres, transport hubs, that sort of thing, makes complete sense to me. The one that's a little bit more contentious and concerns me more is the RMA Amendment Act, and that its medium density residential standards enable more medium density homes, so three houses of up to three stories as a right on a site. Generally throughout New Zealand, it's one house per site and frequently two stories high max. So I've got a few worries about this one. It has been watered down considerably since it was first announced, and it's very similar to Auckland Unitary Plan's mixed housing urban zones, and I live in one of those. There's also the dropping of the need for on-site car parking. So, of course, more people worried about parking filling up the streets, although that's already the case in a lot of city centre fringe areas like Ponsonby, and it hasn't stopped them being very popular. So, like I say, this last one's a real blunt instrument, but we do need radical moves. And we don't need more three-bedroom houses in remote suburbs. We need more housing, intensification, diversity of housing types closer to where people live and work. And, of course, we've got to reinvent our cities to cope with climate change and the social inequality that I mentioned last time. So the main battleground in Auckland has been over special character areas and the reduction in these through government pressure. And these are neighbourhoods with older houses, bungalows, villas, that sort of thing. It looks like some suburbs, Ponsonby, Greyland, Devonport, won't be hard hit, but others will. Epsom, Remuera, St Mary's Bay, Freeman's Bay. So support and opposition to all of this are in two camps, really. We've got young people on the one side who want some hope of having a home one way or the other, even if it's renting for life, but not an hour and a half's commute from the centre of the city. And you can see that in the Coalition for More Homes, which is a group of groups. And then we've got older people in nice areas, fair enough, defending their character and heritage, such as the Character Coalition. The Auckland Council doesn't like any of this because Auckland's been through the whole unitary plan process, and that was very focused on intensification already. And the unitary plan, I think, ended up being quite fine-tuned. So the council the councillors, the mayor, and its officers haven't liked this new process, which they're seeing as riding roughshod over the top. And also, it must be said, the government has been very poor in its communication and consultation with experts and professionals and the public as well. I mean, there should be more talk about this sort of thing, rather than kind of, you know, just launching it on the public and scaring the horses, as it were. So here's a few more of my thoughts. The MDRS, that's the three houses on three sites, I worry about, like many do, intensification happening on city fringes where land is really cheap. Whole bunch of three-story townhouses miles from public transport or malls or workplaces, etc. And there is an Auckland Council report out there that backs that up. But also we have to realise that Auckland's a metropolis. It's not a big city where everyone lives in suburbs and commutes to work in the central city or for entertainment or anything. There are many, many people living in chunks of Auckland that never go near the central city. So I don't really have a problem with intensification in places like Māngere Town Centre or Roskill, for instance, as long as we get good public transport links there. And that's what the CC2M, God, I can never get that one right, City Centre to Airport Link, bloody acronyms. The second thing is we've got really awful rates of respiratory illness in young kids in this country, and it's linked to poor housing and overcrowding. And I think even a crappy house built to modern standards, but poorly designed, you know, the rubbish bins are out the front in full view, there's not much outdoor space, is still a better roof over a kid's head than much of what we've got at the moment. And a lot of our heritage stuff, including 1940 state houses, are not up to modern standards. The other thing, a lot of my professional colleagues are very opposed, like the Auckland Council, to this sort of thing. But, you know, to be mean to them, South and West Auckland are over the horizon to a lot of them, and a lot of boomers as well. A lot of people in Auckland don't realise the extent of problems beyond their patches, and this is aiming at that. And then I think the last thing is in relation to bungalows and villas, and I live in Ponsonby, even in city fringe areas, I think it's a bit of a myth that we've got suburbs and suburbs full of immaculate streets of these. In Greylin, a whole bunch of them are, you know, very motley and run down, for instance, even in the very flash street I live in, except for my bit, which is 40 state houses, you've still got some really run-down villas and bungalows that are beyond the point of fixing up. And then on the other hand, you've got a whole lot of highly modified villas, such as in Westmere, you know, and by highly modified, I mean they still look like bungalows or villas, but they've had second stories added to them and that kind of thing. So sure, there's character there, but it's not particularly heritage at all. So all up, I am alone among many urban designers and people involved in that sort of thing who basically fundamentally supports these big moves. Big moves.
I know, but it's the bluntness of it. And like you mentioned, the three houses on the one patch of land. Someone made the point you subdivide that land, and all of a sudden it's six houses. The other one, I remember this wonderful discussion, I'm going to revive it, that we had with former Auckland Council planner Simon O'Connor, but also with Eakin Sakin, who's a Christchurch-based architect, committee member with the Urban Design Forum. They are all for the provision of housing for people in cities. But she went through, and it's really worth going back and listening to that interview, people, she went through all the ways that you could tweak this policy to make sure that we don't end up with, you know, simple things that could be done to ensure there's enough green space or there's enough light, or that there are design rules you could bring in that could ensure this is not done cheap and nasty? And the other conversation you and I have had is, how do you ensure there's enough green space, there's enough recreational space? It seems that we've had all the rules taken away, but not some practical things added in to prevent the worst outcomes.
If I could make one quick point, there are layers of rules still in there. So, you can't keep on subdividing and subdividing, because we do have things such as the permeable area to allow rain to get through. Outdoor living spaces have been improved in the, what I've called the watering down. There are yards, there are height to boundary controls. There are still a whole raft of things that will stop, the kind of horror stories that are being retailed out there at the moment.
Well, I don't think they were retailing horror stories. They were, and this is my point, I don't think you're as lonely as you think you are. I think there are plenty of urban planners and designers who want housing, but want it done well.
I do recall a colleague of mine saying on national radio that Auckland would end up looking like Pyongyang, which I don't think will happen.
That's an interesting take on it. Bill, thanks very much as always. Bill McKay.